Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is Alex Gleitman, who is now at the Buckeye Huddle. But we were the Hoosier Huddle first. Alex Gleitman has been around the Buckeyes, helps cover Rutgers as well. Friend of the show. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm good, Sammy. Thanks for having me on. Always fun this week of the year to come on the show and talk a little Buckeyes Hoosiers with you.
Yeah, this is probably the most fun we'll have all week before the game. But Indiana comes into the game on Saturday as 40-point underdogs, 40 and a hook. Ohio State's coming in, obviously, number two in the country, 9-0, and things like that. And I know fans and people are poking holes in the Buckeyes, especially after last week's performance at Northwestern in a monsoon, hurricane, whatever storms come off the lake like that. Just take us through Ohio State's season this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think obviously you are what your record says you are, right? And they're 9-0. As you said, they're number two in the college football playoff rankings. And they're exactly where we thought they would be at this point in the season. They're exactly where they wanted to be at this point in the season. They got Indiana at home this week. They go to Maryland next week. Those are two games that they should be pretty heavy favorites. Well, they obviously are for Indiana, and they should be a pretty heavy favorite against Maryland. And then, you know, the season really comes down to the game against Michigan the last weekend of the year. And it looks like that game's going to determine not only the Big Ten East winner, but very likely the Big Ten's representative in the college football playoffs. So, you know, when you talk about expectations, I think Ohio State's exactly where we thought they would be, but how they got there, maybe a little bit not, you know, along the path that everyone thought. In game one against Notre Dame, they lost Jackson Smith and Jigba to a hamstring injury. JSN was, you know, potential Heisman candidate, certainly a Biletnikoff favorite or one of the favorites. Came off a Big Ten record season, Rose Bowl record performance at the end of last year. And that hamstring injury, I mean, he came back for a couple games along the way, but really hasn't been able to get it right. So you're not going to see him this weekend against Indiana. I mean, there's a chance you'll see him maybe against Maryland and then maybe against Michigan, but I wouldn't be shocked if either A, he's done for the full year, or maybe if they make the playoffs, that's when he comes back. But either way, they've had to learn to win without their best skill position player. And then along the way, they've had some injuries too. Travion Henderson's missed games. Mayan Williams, their other running back, has missed games. So it's really forced them to learn how to win with some younger guys, some other players outside of the guys we expected them to do. And then on the other side of the ball, Ohio State's defense against teams with a pulse last year was not very good. They basically cleaned house other than Larry Johnson on that side of the ball. And Jim Knowles, the new defensive coordinator, had high expectations when he came in, but I think he's exceeded those already. Ohio State's the only team in the country with a top five offense, which was expected, but they also are the only team in the country that has not only a top five offense, but a top five defense. And I think people would have been very happy if you said Ohio State would have had a top 20 defense this year, but to have a top five defense, I think it's really when the offense has sputtered at times because of a variety of issues that they're going through, the defense has really picked up the slack and really helped them get going, especially the last few weeks. Iowa, Penn State, and then last week, as you said, against Northwestern in a game that probably just needs to be thrown out because of how crazy the weather was there.
Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask about. It seems like, you know, I watched the Ohio State-Penn State game as I used bye week. It was a good game up until like the last crazy 8 minutes or so. It seems like to me, at least in the small sample size that I've watched Ohio State, they've kind of struggled to put points up in the first half, and then all of a sudden the avalanche hits. Is that a pattern that has happened this year?
At least the last few weeks. I mean, to me, are teams doing things like, I know Iowa, for example, gave them a completely different look on defense than what they had seen. You know, Iowa normally plays a cover two with the two high safeties, and they gave them a completely different look playing cover zero, cover one, right? And that tinkered with what Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson had planned to do coming into the game. And I thought it took them a little too long to adjust. And then Penn State, I know, gave them a few different looks as well and was doing some things executionally to beat Ohio State. And I thought it took them too long to adjust. So, is it me? Am I right that they're taking too long to adjust? Or is Ohio State just so talented that they just eventually wear you down and break through even when you are playing well against them? I don't know. But you are right to a point. And even the Notre Dame game, you look at that game in the opener. I know they lost JSN and they were trying to figure things out. They didn't have Julian Fleming in that game either. So they were really down a few big-time receivers unexpectedly. But – you know, Notre Dame, I mean, that was one where they slow started and then, you know, kind of roared back later in the game. So I don't know. Is it a trend? Is it adjusting too late? Is it just getting different things thrown at them or eventually just being able to be so good that they're wearing teams down? I don't know, but there is some sort of pattern there, and I'm sure they're going to try and break that this week against Indiana a little bit.
Yeah, I want to talk about the playoff a little bit. There's a chance that two Big Ten teams get in. Anything could happen. I mean, they're talking about like a four-loss Alabama team could get in, whatever. But should Michigan do the unthinkable and beat Ohio State in the Shoe, would the Indiana win is not going to turn people's heads, but would it make the people who are looking at that resume, if Ohio State beats Indiana, is it back to like that early 90s, late 90s style points? Hey, they had that tough game against Northwestern, but that's now due to the weather and things like that. Do you see Ohio State just putting pedal to the metal and not taking it off until, you know, it's triple zeros in the fourth quarter?
I think if they can, it will be right. Like, I think they certainly are going to try and kind of exert their will in the next 2 weeks, really, if they could do it against Maryland as well. I think they're going to try and, you know, Ryan Day would never admit it, but I do think style points are certainly going to play a little bit of a factor. I don't think he'd ever admit this either, but I think they'd love to get CJ Stroud a Heisman Trophy this year as well. And, you know, if they could, he obviously didn't have great stats last week, and, you know, I think if they could come in and let him throw for 400 plus yards and 4+ touchdowns over the next 2 weeks, I think they're going to try to let him do that and really get the team. I think it's more than anything just getting the team some confidence that they can do what they want to do on offense for a full four quarters heading into that Michigan game. I think that's probably it more than anything.
Yeah, going back to that offense, a name that's familiar to Indiana fans, Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison Jr. is having a big-time season. It seemed that any time they need a play, he's the guy they go to. You know, and you could put 2-3 guys on him. He still finds a way to get open. Just tell us a little bit about Marvin Jr.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible talent. Obviously, got to learn from one of the best to ever do it, as a lot of people listening who are Colts fans probably know. You know, his dad, he's just – he, like, his dad raised him the right way. Like, he is a yes sir, no sir guy off the, you know, on and off the field. He is all about football, you know, just studying film in the weight room. How do I get better? And one of the big reasons, you know, they made a business decision to come to Ohio State. They felt that Brian Hartline, being a former player, you know, they just loved what, you know, what he brought to the table as far as being able to develop Junior. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding right now. You're seeing him in year two just have an incredible year. Teams are now starting to – Northwestern really started to double-team him last week. And, I mean, he's the best playmaker they have, as you said. 10 catches, like a 10 catches, 185 yards or something like that against Penn State. All 10 catches went for first downs. You almost wondered when they were struggling a little bit, like, why they weren't throwing to him almost every single time, because Penn State couldn't seem to stop it. And – you know, he's been absolutely incredible. He's a Biletnikoff. He's going to probably be a Biletnikoff finalist. He not only catches for a ton of yards, but he catches a lot of touchdowns too. He's got a He's got a big frame, like a 6'3 plus 6'4 frame. So in the red zone, he's very, very good. Great hands, great route runner. You know, as I said, he's his dad with more size, I'd say. So they got someone who probably should have been ranked a little bit higher as a high school recruit. And you're seeing kind of those off-field intangibles come into play with Ohio State's development.
If Ohio State had a weakness that could be exploited, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, on offense, they've struggled in the run game. You know, Iowa, Penn State, Northwestern. I would watch what those teams did. I mean, Northwestern was a little different because you knew they couldn't throw the ball, so they were able to, like, put nine guys in the box. That obviously won't happen this weekend in what looks to be better, much, much, much better weather conditions. But, yeah, I mean, look, teams are loading the box. They're slanting down. They're taking away, you know, some of the run gaps in Ohio State's zone scheme. Ohio State's got to find answers for that. They struggled. They figured it out a little bit later against Penn State. They struggled against Iowa. They were held to like 60-something yards in that game rushing. They need to be able to run the ball to beat really good teams. And if a team like Indiana is able to stop the run, they're going to have a chance, you know, just like Iowa did for a few quarters, Penn State did for a few quarters, and even Northwestern did for a few quarters. So on offense, I'd say, you know, the run game is something that between injuries and just some schematic things and execution, it's been a combination of not the best. I know statistically it probably doesn't look like that. And then, you know, on defense, I think the cornerbacks have been a lot better, but the cornerbacks with some injuries and just some issues early on were a little bit of a weak spot, being able to throw on them a little bit. It seems like, you know, Northwestern and Penn State found a couple things in the run defense that they've been able to exploit the last couple weeks. So no glaring weakness on defense, but it does seem like, you know, Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator, admits that they build their defense for five explosive plays against them for an entire game to still be able to win. So I would say if you're Indiana, you really got to take advantage of when those opportunities come about.
Yeah. Speaking of this series, Indiana hasn't won against the Buckeyes since 1988. They haven't beaten the Buckeyes at Ohio Stadium since 87. Kevin Wilson and Tom Allen have had their close calls. There have been games where it's been crazy. The onside kick game in 2012, you know, the Michael Penix comeback in 2020, 2015 was a close game. It just seemed that Indiana was kind of closing the gap. But the last couple years, that gap has widened. What do you see the difference? I know as an outsider on Indiana football, but what do you see the difference there? Is it totally that, you know, we know it's a talent gap. There's always going to be a talent gap between IU and Ohio State. But what kept Indiana in those games, you know, just, you know, a decade ago, to now that, you know, they lost in 2019 big, they lost last year big at home, and this year 40.5-point underdogs. You know, what do you see where IU's not getting the job done and Ohio State is?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I mean, obviously, I think the talent gap, like, I think IU should have had, like, I don't think they've recruited ever since that 2020 year. You kind of thought that they would take steps in the right direction. It's almost like they went backwards, and that was kind of a funky year, but you know, I don't know if they've recruited as well as I expected them to. I don't know, like you would expect them to have closed the gap maybe from a talent perspective. I know they've gone to the portal and some things like that as well. You know, I think the talent gap has probably widened over the last couple of years. If that, you know, explains things. I don't know. I just think you look at those IU teams under Kevin Wilson. I mean, they had a lot of NFL players, right? Like they had some NFL linemen, they had NFL running backs. They had some NFL receivers. And even that 2020 team, it seemed like when you talk about the Jimmys and Joes, you know, Michael Penix was really, really, really good that year before he got hurt, obviously. And they had, you know, a really good receiver on that team. I mean, this year I haven't watched a ton of IU, but when I have, they haven't been able to run the ball at all. Their O-line's not good. Their running backs aren't good. You know, you don't have the guys that they used to have in that room. It seemed like almost like every year in those Kevin Wilson years where they were competing, like they would just be churning out a different NFL back every single year, right? Like Tevin Coleman, there was a few other guys. Jordan Howard. There was a couple others in there, if I'm not mistaken. I know they had a kid from Glenville that was pretty good too. If I, you know, Shane Wynn as a slot receiver was like a really nice player. You know, they had some, like, and then obviously, you know, the Courtland Suttons of the world and all those guys, like, they had some NFL talent. I'm just not seeing NFL talent on the offensive side of the ball. And as good as their defense has been at times under Tom Allen, I'm not sure if the offense has ever really matched it. 2020 was probably the year. You know, Tom Allen, very good coach. Kevin Wilson, I think, was an even better coach, in my opinion. You know, they did some things X's and O's wise that were really, really good in those games. I just, you know, at some point your talent just is too overmatched. And I think push comes to shove, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I know. In a perfect world, having a few more years of Kevin Wilson as a head coach and Tom Allen as a defensive coordinator probably changes things for IU. There's a quarterback commit from IU from Canefield, Ohio. I don't know much about Canefield, but it's Brock Lowry. He's carrying that team. What do you know about Brock Lowry that you could tell us? And if it's not nothing, that's okay too. But what can you give Hoosier fans hope for the future?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't know a ton about him. I mean, he wasn't, you know, sometimes a lot of these in-state guys, you know, Ohio State will have at least had them in camp or looked at them closely to at least, you know, make sure they're checking the boxes. They didn't really do that here with Brock. But what I could tell you is that he does come from like a good, strong program in that like Northeast Ohio area. You know, I know that, you know, looking at his offers, it's Iowa State has offered, which, you know, Matt Campbell knows the state of Ohio inside and out. And if he's offering a kid, you know, I think he's got a chance to be a pretty decent upside player, because that's, you know, Iowa State, they're not going to get those 4 and 5 star kids. They're going to live in those 3 stars from the Midwest. They're going to develop in their program. So that tells me a lot, you know. So I don't know a ton about the kid. I'll leave it at that, but I know the program he comes from, you know, he's well coached. He plays against good competition. He's going to be battle tested. And, you know, as I said, if Matt Campbell gives the stamp of approval, I think that's good by me.
Final question on this game, Alex. If you're a casual fan tuning into this game, what are you watching? Are you watching a Taiwan Mullen matchup against Marvin Harrison? Are you looking at, you know, maybe another matchup there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess if you're Indiana, you're, you know, how does, or if you're an NFL scout, right? Like, how does Mullen stack up against not only Marvin Harrison, Emeka Buka is a really good player, Julian Fleming. So how does IU's secondary stack up against, you know, Ohio State's really good receiver? I think if you're an Ohio State guy, you know, where can they, you got to be watching. And I think this goes for Indiana too, because I think this will judge how close this game is. How does Ohio State's run game do against the Indiana defense? I think that's going to be a big tell. You know, is this going to be a blowout from start to finish? Is it going to be a tough, hard fought game for a few quarters? Maybe Ohio State pulls away at the end. So that's probably what I'm watching. I think that the Son McCullough story, you know, he was committed to Ohio State at one point. His dad was at Indiana. He ended up going there. His dad's now left Indiana, but he's, you know, had an opportunity to come in as a freshman and make an impact. I don't know if that would have been the case at Ohio State. So it'll be interesting to watch, because I think he'll, you know, I don't know. I haven't paid too much attention to IU, but I've seen him on the field. I know he's done some things in flash as a freshman. So that's a storyline that I think could be interesting to watch as well. So.
Yeah. Dasan, he looks like a player. He plays like a player. But he's filled out like a true freshman. And he just, if another year or two in the weight room, he is going to be an absolute monster. And you just hope that, at least from the IU perspective, you hope you could hang on to him and have him be the face of the program for the next couple years. Alex, as always, thanks for tuning in. Tell our crew where we could follow you guys and find you on the web.
Yeah, very simply, similar to you guys, BuckeyeHuddle.com. We have free content. We have some stuff behind the paywall and on the message boards. But, yeah, BuckeyeHuddle.com, our Buckeye Huddle YouTube channel has got plenty of content. We do whole pregame show, postgame show. We have all the press conferences up there. So if you are an Indiana football fan, you're interested in seeing what Ryan Day or some of the other coaches had to say about the Hoosiers, We usually cover the visiting team's press conference as well after the game. So we should have some Tom Allen video up there. So, you know, BuckeyeHuddle.com, Buckeye Huddle on YouTube, at Buckeye Huddle on Twitter. I'm at Alex Gleitman on Twitter. Always happy to answer questions. Always love coming to Bloomington, and always have a great time being on the show.
Yeah, always fun. Hope to catch you in person sometime soon, Alex. And best of luck to our Jets, you know, coming up against we got a bye week and then New England again. So
yeah, we got to break the streak here. We almost had them a couple weeks ago, but I think this is it.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
No problem.